Starting recording.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let us start with Al-Fatiha and short dua. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Ameen. Oh Allah, we glorify you as you ought to be glorified. We praise you as you ought to be praised. We thank you for gathering us today to reflect in the holy months of Ramadan and the meaning of fasting. I ask you to guide the tongues by which you speak, the hearts by which we feel, and the minds by which we understand, and to help us understand the deep meaning and apply it in our lives. I ask you to increase us in knowledge and to give us the strength to apply that knowledge and to benefit from it. I seek refuge in you from ignorance and arrogance and from having knowledge that we are not applying. I seek refuge in you from wronging anyone or being wronged by others. And I seek refuge in you from leading anyone astray and from being led astray. I seek refuge in you from confusion, and I ask you to grant us clarity and to purify us, purify our hearing, our seeing, purify our thoughts, our intentions, and our words and our actions and our qualities. I ask you to illuminate our hearts and minds and souls and to beautify us with your beautiful qualities, to forgive our mistakes and shortcomings, and to make it a way to know your forgiveness and to learn and to rectify our affairs, and to draw closer to you in the gentle way, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Malik, Ya Quddus, Ya Hadi, Ya Noor, Ya Hakim, Ya Allah. Help us to carry your message, the message of unity and love and peace and mercy and justice and freedom for all. And help us to carry the message of all the prophets and messengers and to follow their footsteps. And honor us and use us to be agent for your compassion and healing and justice and mercy. آمين آمين وأصلي وأسلم وأبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone. So I would like to see who is in class Okay, I see you all changed to the Sufi name, so now I know. Thank you for doing that. So this class is about the benefit of fasting. So Ramadan Mubarak, everyone. It's coming soon, inshallah. And as we know, Allah, as Sidi would always say, Allah chose special times, special places, and special people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a special time, that is Ramadan, in order to give us a chance. You know, it is like there are the prescriptions that is giving to us is like for our spiritual healing. Just as we annually go for medical exams, we annually do the fasting. There are daily also doses of medicine and things to do, just as there is recommended doses of exercise or nutrition or things for the body. Allah chose a special time for the annual examination, self-examination, and healing to discover if something needs healing spiritually and intellectually. But it also benefits the body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that time, and He sent down the Quran to the world or to earth in that night, in one night, which is Laylatul Qadr, as it is said in Surah 97, Surah Al-Qadr, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, who sent it, meaning the Quran, down on the night of decree or the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. But what will convey to you what is the night of decree is? It's like this question is so beautiful, so profound, because it's not something you will read about. It is something you have to experience. The night of decree is better than 1,000 months, like a lifetime. In it descends the angels and the spirit by the leave of their Lord or masterful nurturer with every command. Peace it is until the rise of dawn. So the Holy Quran, it is said that it was revealed in its entirety in that night to the lower realm, because that is how knowledge descended. It descended on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that spiritual experience he had with Angel Jibreel as a messenger of Allah to him illuminated his whole being and changed his perception of the world. And later this knowledge started to come in pieces and in details that became the Holy Quran. But in the beginning, it came as an entire direct knowledge. And that is what Muslims strive to experience, that direct knowledge that comes in that special night. And Ramadan is designed or prescribed in order to increase our chances, because we seem to fall heedless. So Allah wants us to have that chance by increasing the level of remembrance, reflections, purifications in a special time. So it most likely can be conducive to produce that spiritual experience and have that direct blessing and direct knowledge. But it doesn't mean it will not happen outside of Ramadan, that you can also have that spiritual experience that is worth or equivalent to a lifetime, because it will change your whole life and your whole being. So Allah says in another ayah, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, guidance for humanity and the clear pretense of guidance and the criterion that discern between subtle things and clear things. So it's sent as a clarity, as guidance. Whoever of you witness the month shall fast it, but whoever is sick or on a journey, then a number of other days. Allah desires ease for you and does not desire hardship for you, that you may complete the number and celebrate Allah for having guided you so that you may be thankful. So that's the fruit of Ramadan, that you have guidance, clarity, and gratitude. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat also showing the mercy in it, because He doesn't want to put us on hardship. So if you're traveling or sick, or for women who have their monthly menses and go through a little bit of physical and emotional phase of maybe distress, Allah does not want to put us in hardship. He wants to give us ease. And some people who are traveling, they still want to fast. And it's different in the scholarly opinions. Some say, oh, fasting is better. But others say, no, it is accepting Allah's gift because He wants for us ease, but we want for us hardship. So if you're sick, people feel bad sometimes if they are sick or traveling and they have to break their fast, but Allah is giving you a gift. So why would you refuse it? He wants to put you at ease, but you put yourself in hardship. That's one opinion. Other people say, no, as long as I am not tired or I am not this or that, then I'm gonna fast. So it's up to you to choose that, and to choose that point of view or that point of view. But personally, I see Allah's gift when He, and mercy. So we rather accept His mercy. If we are sick or having our menses or traveling, then He knows better than us as well. You know what our bodies can endure and what not. So when we talk about the benefit of fasting, or the aspect of fasting first, there are people who only have the fasting of the body, that as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said they don't gain out of their fasting except hunger and thirst, and nothing else they gain. No spiritual transformation, no spiritual experience, no change of perspective of the mind and refining of the soul and the character. They don't gain these things. They only gain hunger and thirst. So the fasting of the body, yes, we all know the rules to refrain from eating and drinking from dawn to sunset, and to refrain from sexual activities as well. And of course, CG will take it deeper when he taught us to also practice the fasting of the ears and the fasting of the eyes and the fasting of the tongue, as Prophet Muhammad said. So, and those, what do they mean to fast, to make your eye fast? To fast maybe from looking at things that is forbidden, and looking to spy on people, looking down at people, looking lustfully or revengefully, or looking with envy, things like that. And the purifying of the ears to not again engage in listening to backbiting or rumors, fake news, or listening to insult, vain talks, useless things, and things like that. And the tongue, of course, refrain also from backbiting, belittling, spreading rumors, spreading news that is not verified. It's, you know, there is many things going on in the world these days. So watching the tongue is one of the hardest things to some people. And so that's why if you engage in acts of worship, why we prescribe acts of worship? Does Allah need us to praise Him? Does He need our glorification? No, He's self-sufficient. It is for us when we feel the glorification of Allah, when we have a sense of gratitude, when we contemplate in the universe, then that engage us in good activities, in healing activities, rather than sleeping in using the tongue in a way that is harmful, or the eyes, or the ears, or the body. So Allah give us a chance through these acts of worship to engage in something useful for us, and to help us refrain for a little bit from the other harmful actions that we involve in sometimes intentionally or unconsciously, and sometimes consciously and purposely as well. So Allah wants to give us a time to refrain and to redeem ourselves through the tawbah and through repentance and reflections and so forth. So He prescribed these things for us to give us that chance. So that is the fasting of the nafs. The fasting of the nafs to start to reflect on one's actions and the qualities, and to refrain from, you know, negative habits, and to change pattern of behavior that we need to change, and the qualities that we want to let go, or the feelings that we want to understand and let go, so we can continue to transform in a way that makes us more of representatives of Allah. The fasting of the aql, again, our thoughts, especially our thoughts, engage and, you know, wander everywhere. So the fasting of the aql involves guiding our thoughts. So again, the worship, the ritual, the recitation of the Quran, and fasting also weakens the body, so it has an effect on the brain too, and the mind. So in a way, it's healing. But if we do it consciously, then we refrain from, you know, the negative thoughts, the thoughts that are useful, or the thoughts that are based on, you know, lower desires and fears and things that are not serving us. Of course, there are levels of fear or precautions that is helpful, but I'm talking about the diseases of the mind that goes way beyond the reasonable balance and the subtle messages that Allah give us through feelings. We get stuck in them and we take them to extreme, and our thoughts go rampant, kind of, and go to extremes. And so that is the type of fasting. So how can we heal that or make the fasting of the mind? It's through, again, reflecting on the Quran, on the teaching that is given to us, on engaging our mind in fikr, like contemplations of the universe, of ourselves, of the Quran, the holy guidance, and to study it. So I encourage you this month, you know, which, yeah, people try to finish reciting the whole Quran during the month, and that is beautiful. But also be careful not to fall into quantity rather than quality. So give everything its due rights. And when you read or reflect on the Quran, give it right. What is more important, to finish it and not to get something of it, or to really immerse yourself in it and gain a fruit of it, and something you can apply and you can transform you and transform your life. And the fasting of the ruh, as CG would say, to fast from everything except your beloved Allah, which means Allah is number one in your life. The truth, the truly real is what matters to you. Your relationship with Allah is what matters to you, is more beloved to you than anything else or anyone else. So you put him and the divine qualities as your values rather than other things, social norms, or how we want to please family or please the loved ones, or of course we're required to be pleasing, but to be truly pleasing to others and to the world, it requires subtle understanding and development of the qualities that Allah wants us to develop. And we'll talk a little bit about that in next slides. But first, we can see how fasting have physical benefits, and many, many research studies are there online. You can find it. Since fasting became a little bit recently popular with the intermittent fasting and other forms of fasting, as well as like the 12-hour fasting, which almost like Ramadan. But there are also Muslim scholars or scientists who did some research on the fasting of Ramadan specifically, because Ramadan has other rituals too to it that we engage in, the acts of worship, and that has social benefit or healing, as well as physical healing and spiritual and hopefully intellectual healings as well. But you can find some of the physical benefits online. I just summarized them in these headlines. It promotes better health by fighting inflammation, and may enhance heart health by improving blood pressure, triglycerides, and cholesterol levels, may boost brain function and prevent neurodegenerative disorders, aids weight loss by limiting calories intake and boosting metabolism. Sometimes we violate this one because when we break our fast, we go and eat unhealthy. So it is something like requires some jihad or efforts. 5, increases growth hormone secretion, which is vital for growth, metabolism, weight loss, and muscle strength. Could delay aging and extend longevity. May aid in cancer prevention and increase the effectiveness of chemotherapy. And there is a website that actually have several research underneath each of those and the results that they came up with. And there is numerous other researches available online. So it's, again, Ramadan, a chance to have direct experience of the divine presence, but and that can transform us. And that's like an intense spiritual experience that may happen. But there are other subtle lower levels that can also change us if we engage in reflection and in zikr and in the acts of worship and in studying the Quran and all of that. So these are the refining virtues. And they are all subtle, and I think I taught that several times before, but we'll just go through them quickly and open it for questions. It's Ramadan is a chance, and maybe those are 30, because I thought we can take one each day. I taught a class on it before called the 30 Nourishment of the Heart, because you can take each one of those and probably reflect on the meaning and the characteristic of each quality, and to see how you are doing in your life? Think of examples that you behaved that way or that way. So for example, Allah permits us to mitigate harm. Revenge, well, again, there is an ayah in the Quran that says, if someone offends you, you have the right to self-defense, and جَزَاءُ السَّيِّئَةَ سَيِّئَةً مِثْلَهَا. Like, someone offended you, you may offend them back as a self-defense, and you shouldn't transgress. But the higher road is to try to mitigate the harm without revenge, and without also becoming subservient to abuse to someone who, you know, harming you. So mitigating harm in the Sharia is the principle that we should look at. At times we act revengefully, and at times we act as subservience to another, to the society, to a boss, to maybe a spouse, or, you know, things like that. And it could be obvious, it could be subtle. So it is something to reflect on. Modesty, diffidence, or conceit on the other side. So sometimes, are we modest, or are we diffidence, or are we acting with conceit? Generosity is the virtue that is required in the Quran and in the Sharia, but on one extreme, there is profligacy, on the other is mindlessness. However, you know, these are subtle levels, require wisdom. And look at the coronavirus now, probably with money issue and providence that we have. What is generosity? What is mindfulness? May become more clearer actually through this, because maybe there are certain things we have to let go of them, because now there is economical difficulty will go through, many people will go through, and they will cut off things. So it's a test for those people who experience that economical or financial difficulty, as well as for the people who are in position to give and be generous. It's a test for both. And what time demands in a certain situation is changed by these circumstances. So circumstances may change some of the characteristic of generosity or the characteristic of being frugal. It depends on this, on the consequence, the circumstances. Then also there is a subtle difference between having dignity, self-respect, versus becoming arrogance or feeling worthlessness and feeling low self-esteem, no dignity. There is a difference between restraining oneself from inappropriate things and between depriving oneself or superindulging in something. So Allah wants us to have that restraint, which actually fasting helps us to gain that self-control and self-restraint. It may seem we deprive us with food or drink, but this is for a limited period. And then it should teach us to have self-control in other levels and in subtle levels. Then there is courage, and there is recklessness in one extreme and cowardliness in another extreme. Then there is frugality, and in one extreme, wastefulness, and in the other extreme, parsimony. So we, especially at this time where like many people are laid off and the financial difficulty striking, then how to become frugal, how not to become wasteful, and at the same time be a little generous with one another and not to go to the extreme of parsimony and being in that fear of extreme fear of sharing or spending. Then there is cautiousness versus endangering and suspicion. Again, with the coronavirus situation, is a good example to, or good time to teach us that. How to be cautious, not to endanger yourself or others, but also not to become extremely fearful and suspicious that it hinder reasonable communications and reasonable things you could do. There is intuition. On the other hand, the overthinking and overanalyzing. And then there is speculation that people may call intuitive, but it is actually speculative, coming from the dark side of the soul, like coming from certain assumptions, certain misconceptions, certain things that makes us speculate about others or about things rather than really having pure intuition. Then there is consulting, which is allowed, versus backbiting and helplessness. So consulting is when you seek a trustworthy person or two to really seek solutions and to relieve or to have encouragement of how to address a certain issue, a certain conflict, but to feel helpless and because you're not wanting to receive advice from anyone and just stay in helpless state is not required. And at the same time, backbiting is just you go and talk to many people or take publicly and to continue that without seeking solutions. Then there is patience versus passivity and impulsiveness. Allah wants us to be patient, not to be impulsive, but not also to be passive. And then there is gifting versus bribery and unappreciation. Subtlety is there. Bargaining is between being cynical and being compliant. Caring is between intruding and carelessness. That's interesting one, because many times people, because they consider themselves caring or they want to be caring, they actually become intruders. And on the other hand, people who are indifferent, they don't care at all. And then there is difference between being confident and being presumptuous or indecisive. There is hope versus despair or wishful thinking. And so I encourage you to go through maybe one by one each day of Ramadan and reflect on it. Some other people may divide the beautiful names of Allah to each day to reflect on three of the divine qualities. Reflect how they manifest in nature. Reflect how they manifest in people. Reflect how they manifest in events, through events. So that's another practice we can do in Ramadan. Then there is the speaking of one's blessing versus disparaging or being boastful. Then there is cheerfulness versus fictitiousness and gloominess. There is aspiration versus apathy and envy. There is sadness versus being indifferent, numb, and agony. There is leadership versus dictatorship and subordination. So that's an interesting one also. Then there is love versus lust and active love, or wad, which Allah is al-wadud. So he expressed his love in the purest and way. And we want to become Abd al-Wadud, to become the servants of al-Wadud, the representative or the agencies of that Wadud. Then there is trusting versus independency or dependency. Because some people want other people to take decisions on their behalf and form that dependency on someone. And so when that someone don't fulfill because they are a limited person, then we get angry or we get hurt. But if we take responsibility for ourselves and trust Allah and, you know, face the consequences of our own actions, then that is the path. And without being caught in blaming someone else all the time, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. But also don't go to claim or feel we are so independent, because we rely on also advices and experiences of other people. We trust that Allah can provide through wise and compassionate and kind people and knowledgeable people. He can provide through that. You know the Sufi story about the person who wanted to trust only Allah. So he was drowning and he prayed, Allah save my life. So Allah brings for him a man who throw a rod for him and say, no, I'm waiting for Allah to save me. Then Allah brings for him a boat and people say, come, we will save you. And he say, no, Allah will save me. He sent for him like a helicopter with people trying to rescue him. And he say, no, I'm independent. Only Allah will rescue me. So he dies, he drowns and dies, and he goes to Allah and he says, why you didn't answer my prayer? You promised to answer my prayer. And Allah said, I was the one who sent for you, the man with the rod, the people in the boat, and the helicopter to rescue you, but you refused. So here you go. So again, trusting does not mean, oh, I only stay home and trust only my own mind kind of and my own prayer, but don't see the blessings that Allah brings through the creation and through other people with knowledge, with wisdom, with probably good advices or good critique. So all of these are helpful. Then there is a difference between being polite and being timid or being rude. Sometimes we confuse this one, is like being polite, then I am gonna avoid any conflict or raising any point of concern because I am gentle and polite and I'm timid to deal with the situation. And on the other hand, people go all the way to be rude in the way they may be truthful, but they present that truth in a rude way. Then there is advising versus ignoring and scolding. We're required to be mirrored for one another, to provide innama ad-dinu an-nasiha, the Prophet said, like religion is to give good advice to each other. And that is different than ignoring or scolding. Initiating, taking initiative versus procrastinating and rushing. It all required wisdom and subtle understanding. There is the virtue of being thankful versus being flattering, to flatter someone, and between being ungrateful. So we're required to be thankful. Whoever is thankful for people is thankful for Allah. The hadith says, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said. Then there is desire versus lust and celibacy. Then there is enterprising versus inactiveness and the greed. So we're required to seek provision, to work, and not to be inactive, but also not to be greedy. And then fairness versus unconcern and bias. So those are the virtues we can reflect on during Ramadan to refine our characters and our qualities, to ask forgiveness when we transgress the limits set by Allah, and to transform, because Allah will not change the circumstances of people until they change what is within themselves. And that requires the understanding and observations of these spiritual residencies and its levels. There is a typo here. Manazil al-ruh wa maqamat al-nafs, which based from Qureshi teaching on the 40 stations or levels of the self, maqamat al-nafs, or manazil al-ruh, he also call it spiritual residencies. And the spiritual residencies, I kind of modified or made it onto 30 as well. So there is the niyyah, purifying the niyyah, the intention. But the niyyah, it's a beautiful level, but if we want to really have more blessing, because Allah rewards us for our good intentions anyway. But when we act upon it, that is tenfold or to 70-fold more blessings or rewards that comes our way. So niyyah is to purify the intention, to set the intention right. Then there is the tadabbur, deliberation. How can I have this beautiful idea, how can I actualize it? Whether to help people, to whatever it is, then I want to help a community or something. How can I do it? I have to actualize it. So I have to deliberate after that intention. I have to deliberate how to do it. Then I have to have the himmah, the enthusiasm to act upon it, to take steps. And that also required ikhlas to Allah, sincerity, to do it for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the truth, for the sake of justice, for the sake of compassion as well. You know, truth and justice without wisdom and compassion can create more fire. To create justice, you have to have wisdom. And yes, the fire also sometimes is required, but you have to have the wisdom of how to even use the fire. So there is ikhlas, sincerity, there is takhallus, letting go. Because you do your part and you let go. You don't, because you can't have control upon everything and everyone. So to let go also of your own misconceptions, your own lower desires, to let go of these things, to purify your sincerity to Allah. And require letting go. And even if you act and actualize to your best what you believe is right and true and beautiful, then you let go of the results. Because sometimes when we don't get the results we anticipate or we wish for, we get discouraged or we get angry. But Allah knows. And sometimes you plant the seed to the last minute of your life, or even if the judgment day comes, the Prophet said, if you have something to plant, a seed, plant, because it will count with Allah. And it will still make a difference. So from that, from sincerity and letting go, you reach istikhlas, which is a deviation. For istikhlas means you will derive something inwardly from it, spiritually. intellectually, even if you fail, you still will gain something from it, will deduce something, will derive something, a lesson from it. And I'm sorry, I kept talking without actually seeing if you have questions. So maybe I should stop a little bit, because we, even in the last slide, I didn't stop after it to see if you have questions before we continue. Why is not going to the past slide? Anyone has a question or comment?
Amani, would it be possible for you to share these last slides with us so we can, you know, print them and then work with them?
Yes, I'll send it to you, inshallah.
Thank you. And then I'll send it to the whole class.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else has a question or comment? I'll continue and give a little bit more time at the end, inshallah. So tawbah is repentance or redemption, but it requires, it's lower level. You see, those are levels. So sorrow and regret is the first level. Then inaba, return and stop. This is the condition of tawbah that Sidi told us. They have different vocabulary in the Quran and in Sufism. So tawbah is repentance. Inaba is to return from what you were doing, the wrong you were doing, and to stop, not to go back and do it again. So auba is a steadiness and security. So it requires that straight path after, for example, let us say someone was drinking, and then they feel sorrow and regret. That will not help in its own. It's not enough. It's a step. It's an intention. But then there is the inaba, the tadabbur, the deliberation. I will take this step to stop and to help myself stop. I will join Alcohol Anonymous, or I'll go to a doctor or rehab or something like that. Then the third step is auba. Steadiness and security. So I will not even go, I will totally avoid these places that might drag me again to where I used to be. So, and this drinking is a strong, you know, example, but you can take it to subtle ways of how we behave, whether it's your pattern with your spouse or your child or with your parent. Ramadan is a time for reconciliation. So many people just, you know, they say, I'm sorry, or call and say, I'm sorry. But to take it this step further, like tawbah is an intention. It's good to say sorry and to feel regretful, but inaba, how are you going to enhance that? And auba, how you can make it steady and stay in that right course, that beautiful course. And you know, you can fall back again, but then you do the tawbah again and you hopefully reach the inaba and the awbah. Those are two words in the Quran, inaba and the awbah, as well as tawbah. So mashi'a, you may have a wish, a beautiful wish. Again, it's like an intention to have a wish to do something to help the community or the family or yourself, or to learn something. It can stay in just as a wish. It's good. It's some reward, some inner reward may come like a little bit because you have a good intention, a good wish. And you have like, you feel happy about it. You feel blessed to have that. But then it requires sometimes an irada, will, to actualize that wish and fi'l, action. So, because it's the will that will lead the action. So you have to have it like a determination or deliberation again to transform it to action. Then there is jihad, and actually I've been working on this vocabulary a little bit, because jihad usually translated as fighting the self or struggling against the self, and that is maybe again a lower level. Then there is mujahada, resistance and the exerting effort, which is more gentler actually and refined and based on knowledge. And then there is tahzeeb, refinement. After resisting and exerting effort, there is, comes the refinement, which becomes effortless. So jihad, for example, okay, I'm gonna stop backbiting, and but I'm used to it. I am like, it's my pattern of behavior. So people start to struggle with it. But resistance is, again, when you start to have the will. When I hear people backbite, I'm going to stay silent, or I'm going to leave, or I'm going to change the conversation, or I'm not going to talk to those people, maybe co-workers or someone not very close, so I can actually detach myself from them, from the rumors and from that. Then there is tahzeeb, the refinement, that is becomes more of an effortless habit. That it's not again, it's not of my nature, because this is not our nature actually. Our nature is beautiful. We are a spirit from Allah. Then there is yaqaza, wakefulness, kind of your consciousness start to get illuminated. Then there is muraqaba, watchfulness. Now I am illuminated, I will be watchful for the way I think and the way I act and behave and the way I understand things. Then mushahada, seeing. After the muraqaba, mushahada comes, like seeing the divine attribute and witnessing and seeing the truth in the situations and things like that. Sidq, authenticity and truthfulness, and fath, opening. If you have authenticity, if you become authentic with Allah, because Allah knows your inner self, you become like naked before Allah. You become honest with Allah. So you are showing Allah your weaknesses, because they are not hidden from Him anyway. So you admit it to Allah. You admit it, you acknowledge it to yourself, to Allah. And then that is, will have an opening when you do that. And this opening will lead to guidance, hidayah, and forgiveness also. Then there is sabr, patience. Musabara is resistance. So patience is like, it's not passivity, but patience is like standing for the right thing, like, or doing something step after step. Like if someone is fixing something, it doesn't happen all over of the second, depends also how severe it is. You do it step after step. If you're painting a beautiful picture, it is not all of a sudden it's done. It's like a brush after brush. So patience is like, okay, I see that is the goal. And then musabara is to resist in taking the steps. And then murabata, resilience, because resilience and endurance is what will help you reach your goal. Then there is tafakkur, contemplation and meditation, followed by ta'akkul. So people may sit to meditate, but then that's all they get. There is ta'akkul, comprehending, that can come from being truthful and honest during the meditation and being, you know, sincere in turning to Allah and all of that, then followed by ta'akkul, comprehension, and kashf, deciphering or unveiling of the truth. then there is the tafaqquh, seeking to understand. So I want to be a student of Sufism or a student of medicine or of healing or any other field. So that is, will come to another point, which is ta'wil, elucidation, through understanding. And then tashri', legislation. Only people who have elucidation knowledge, then they can have legislation for how to protect and how to help people and help justice and so forth. Then there is ibadah, worship or adoration in Arabic language means the love and to know and to love. The ibadah, there is by the body, by limbs, or by the heart, or by actions. When actions become worship, innama al-amal ibadah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said. He also said, interacting with people is ibadah. He said, I only came to complete the ethical and the beautiful manners to make it clear and whole and complete. So all of these are the actual ibadah when you reach that state. Then there is zikr also by tongue, by heart, and by action. So zikr by tongue, we know by heart is when you have Allah as your beloved in your heart, by actions when you reach the unveiling and you reach the other levels of guidance, and then that transforms the action. So your actions becomes worship, becomes the representation of Allah, the service that you're doing for Allah. And sama', listening. So sometimes we invoke Allah through zikr, but we're not listening to his reply. So there is this sama', when you listen to the word of guidance or the voice of guidance that is coming from Allah. And all of these levels also has to do with Islam, submission to Allah's will, and the iman, faith, feeling secure. When you have faith, means you trust and you feel secure and you feel safe with Allah. And then there is ihsan, that is followed by the beautification. Khawf is another level, and hope, raja. So khawf and raja means fear and hope. As Sidi says, that transform in a higher state of awareness or consciousness or refinement of character, to qabt, contraction, and past expansion. Then there is that is also transformed in higher levels of consciousness and the refinement of the soul to haiba, reverence, and inbisat or relaxation. Where we are, yeah. Then there is shauq, longing, can also be transformed to istiaq, like zeal. And shauq to Allah, to the truth, to experience the divine presence. That is, can become like a zeal. And that can be transformed to jazba, captivating attraction. That's the state of the Sufis, such as Hallaj and so. But hopefully we all have some of that. Mahabba, love, again, can be transformed to it, active, because you can love someone or love something, but you don't show that love in action. It can stay just in the heart. You know how the Prophet said, that to change something first by hand or by tongue or by heart, and the heart is the weakest. You love to change something, you love to do something good, but that stays love. Or you love someone and you don't tell them. That stays like that, a potential. But wid is an active expression of it. And khilla is the divine infiltrating that affection and that active love. is like the divine qualities is shown through that. I don't know why I have to go like that, maybe. No. Then there is the maqam or zuhd, asceticism. We may go physically into retreats and things like that, but wara is what the fruit that can come out of it. Abstinence, like natural abstinence or intentional abstinence from lust, from like lowly desires and things like greed, envy, so, and ghina, that's actually a higher state, refined state, when you feel sufficiencies, so it becomes effortless again, in that higher level of refinement and consciousness, it becomes a sufficiency, Allah yughniq, Allah makes you sufficient, fulfilled. Then there is khushu', like being quietened and humbled during the prayer. Tawadu is humbleness. So first you try to be quiet, you quiet the mind, then tawadu, to become humbled, like a sense of being nothing before Allah. And that is followed by rif'ah. Allah will dignify the people who are humbled before Him and will refine them to a level of loftiness. Then there is faqr, poverty, to feel you're always in need of Allah, you're dependent on Allah. And du'a, so you call Allah, you invoke Allah, but that should be followed by istijaba, receiving a response from Allah and your ability to witness it or listen to it. Then there is the level of taslim, submission, and khudu', yielding to Allah, which you followed, as the Sufi says, by tamkeen, mastery. So first you submit to the law and you struggle to do that, then you yield to it, and eventually you master that. You again master, I don't even need to drink alcohol anymore. So that's again a strong example to show mastery. Then there is so mastery in subtle ways, for example, like you feel like the ignorant people accusing you falsely or saying things, and you stay in inner peace, you don't engage in the vain talks, or you don't engage in wanting to belittle others just because they say things, so it doesn't hurt you anymore. Then there is shukr, thankfulness by tongue, by heart, by being, that is should be followed by taqdeer, real appreciation, and hamd, praises even higher. Alhamdulillah, when we say alhamdulillah, that's the highest form of praise, that's a praise that can see the mercy in the disguise or the jamal in the jalal. Tawakkul, to trust Allah, followed by tafweed, deputation, like Allah, you're my agent or my power of attorney, actually it means. And then husn zann billah, having a beautiful expectation of Allah. And then fana' fi Allah, annihilation, followed by baqa' fi Allah, perpetual existence in Allah, and shuhud Allah, witnessing. So fana', again, we all experience glimpses of it when you are overwhelmed effortlessly and beautifully, selflessly, with compassion, and you act from there, that's fana'. Hopefully we want to have that perpetual state. So, and then we witness Allah's qualities in His ayat, in His traces in the universe. Then there is a level of acquiring knowledge, علم اليقين, and معرفة, direct knowledge of Allah or عين اليقين, and علم لدني, the divine direct knowledge, special knowledge, or undoubtful knowledge, حق اليقين. Then there is the level of ولاية, that when Allah appoints you to in a duty, to do a duty, that is also come with qurb, proximity with Allah, and uns, consoling intimacy with Allah. Again, when you're appointed to a duty, if you feel proximity to Allah and you have this intimacy with Allah and beings having solace from Allah, then the results may not bother you. And you trust that Allah is in control and that He will follow with the plan that He planned. But you have done your part. And the path of Sufism is described as tahliya, emptying the self, followed by tahliya, beautifying the self, and khilafa, deployment for mission or purpose that Allah has for you. He has for us a higher purpose that He can use us while in this world to leave that trace, to become the servant and the representative, and to use to leave that trace. And so He calls us for khidma, for service, but service require irshad, to guidance, and tarbiyah, masterful nurturing. So before you deploy someone, you train them. So Allah masterfully nurture us and give us guidance until He uses us for His service. So that is the masterful nurturing aspect, and the receiving of guidance is to help us understand through mistakes and be redeem ourselves through tawbah and so forth. So the path of Sufism is the tariqa, the way you do things, followed by tahqiq, verifying the truth through the way you do things, and tahqiq, actualization. And then that also the beginning of the path is itmi'nan, tranquility and security, followed by rida, contentment, and wajd, ecstatic finding. Tajreed is like to abstract meaning from forms and meaning from events, called tajreed. Jam' is integrating these abstracted meaning, you integrate them together, and that leads you to farq, differentiation and distinction or discerning things. And tawheed, that is unification, the experiencing the unity and the unification of everything. Tawheed Allah, the singularity of Allah, believing in the singularity of Allah, or verifying that by experience, by witnessing. And that leads to tanzih, transcendence. Allah, that the divine singularity transcends all the physical. And that is the tafreed of Allah, to believe in the singularity of the divine essence. So these are like a brief explanation of the Sufi way. And Ramadan is a chance to pick one of these lists and maybe take one per day and reflect on them. You can add that to your other acts of worship. Or again, if you choose, you can contemplate the beautiful names of Allah. Focus on the quality rather than just the quantity. And I hope you will have a blessed, beautiful Ramadan, and that you will experience the fruits of it and Insha'Allah, Allah will bless you with Laylatul Qadr, the divine of decree, or the night of decree, or the night of power, which is equivalent to experience to a lifetime. So alhamdulillah, and I think we have like time for questions, answers, or reflections. No questions or comments. You can go back to any slide. Any question regarding Ramadan, regards fasting, you're also welcome to ask.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, Amani. Oh, Zainab is unmuted, just unmuted herself.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I was just wanted to say the same thing, to thank you. And I don't have any questions because for me it all makes sense and it was just beautiful to listen. But I also echo Rahima's request, please, to have it in a file, inshallah, so that I can look at it in my own time and hopefully... Yeah, look at it during Ramadan. I think, I don't know, I came on late to the call, so I don't know if you've covered the fact that it's going to be a different Ramadan for everyone, because obviously we won't be able to enjoy the mosque atmosphere.
Yeah, actually, I didn't use that part. Okay. I didn't talk about that part of how it is a different Ramadan. How do you all feel about that? How do you feel about it, Zainab?
I'm sad. I mean, last Ramadan, I didn't manage too many nights because Sumaya was here and I wasn't fasting anyway. But this year I will try and fast, inshallah, because she's feeding less. She's nursing less. And yeah, and I love the environment, especially here because there are so many Muslims. And it's just very special to be in the mosque. And sometimes the mosque is overflowing, so we pray outside, which is also so special. So yeah, I haven't figured out yet what I will do to kind of find that that holiness that is there when so many people are together. I'm maybe just trying to read Quran or listen to Quran, or I haven't decided what I'm going to implement. But inshallah, I will do your suggestion, which is to look through these things every day.
There is also like a virtual Ramadan kind of with SSD. Like our community, our beloved community, our tariqah is, I think the Farm of Peace has a program, but also SSC has a program, and it's a daily. I will be teaching weekly a class, but other teachers too will be sharing a class. So there will be something daily.
Okay.
I think maybe what is missing is reciting Quran together, but maybe there is other... you know, beloveds who are starting that to do, like maybe reciting Quran together, or we can do things. People can do things virtually. It's not the same, but it is something.
Yeah.
And it makes me reflect to what Allah wants us to focus on. He wants us to turn inwardly more rather than socially, it seems. So maybe And for me, like, I think Ramadan for me used to be like more of a family time, because of course when CG was alive I would travel with him and I would enjoy community time. But I think because I would have only part of Ramadan home, I enjoyed being home and being with my children. But now two of them are not home, so it's different also. But like, I think for me, I'm used to stay alone in Ramadan sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like last Ramadan, maybe I used to sometimes go to the farm or go to the land in Ramadan retreat, and it was really beautiful. So I'm going to miss that for sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm also sad to not see everyone again in the end, in the final session, that it's going to be virtual.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be, I think it would have been 2 weeks or 3 weeks after Ramadan that we meet each other again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, inshallah, Allah makes it that we can visit people one day. But it's,
yeah,
I didn't get to say goodbye to people properly. And I think there's sadness surrounding that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But inshallah, we can connect in Ramadan and on after the session as well.
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah.
It's kind of sad for many people to see the Kaaba empty.
Yeah.
Especially during Ramadan, I don't think they will open it. Maybe Allah is pointing us to find the Kaaba within, as the Sufis say.
Yeah, strengthen it, what's inside for the time being.
Mm-hmm. That will make people appreciate one another more, hopefully.
I think so, yeah.
Touch with one another physically, outside or socially. So maybe that help people appreciate one another more.
Someone said that the Kaaba isn't empty, it's always the angels are doing is the itikaf. Yeah,
yes.
So I like to think of that every time I see the Kaaba, that it's just filled with angels.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for the class, and I just wanted to share those thoughts.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Omani.
Alhamdulillah. No questions about Ramadan? Or maybe if you don't have questions, we can have a few minutes to just share a little zikr. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Hay, haq, 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 hay, haq. Ya Allah, Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, Ya Arham al-Rahimin, we ask you to open our hearts for Ramadan, to make it the most blessed Ramadan ever. We are in need of it, Ya Allah. We are in need of the blessing of Ramadan. It's a different Ramadan. It's a unique Ramadan. I ask you to give us the most benefit you intend from Ramadan, to accept our repentance, our tawbah, our inaba, our return to you, and our awbah, to make us steady or steadfast in following your way. Help this Ramadan to be an awakening, to be a cultivation of the virtues, a chance for forgiveness and redemption. Make this Ramadan a way to unite us spiritually, intellectually, and to help us find new and deeper way of connections. We thank you for the virtual chance, for the technology that is allowing us to hear one another, to see one another. We are grateful for your lutf, for your subtle, deep mercy. Help us to see the mercy in disguise and the ease in the midst of hardship. Help us to learn the lessons need to be learned through this period of time and social distancing and isolation. I specifically ask you to heal those who are sick and suffering, to bestow your mercy upon them, and to give them peace of mind and tranquility of joy, and make it a way for forgiveness. I ask you to help those who are dying alone and without their families. I ask you to ease it on them and on their families, to give them solace and forgiveness. I ask you to bless all health workers and providers and those who offer essential services, and to protect them and bless them and bless their families, and to make all of this struggle a way of awakening and finding guidance and wisdom and knowledge and showing compassion and to one another, and creating a world of justice and beauty and love and freedom for all. Ameen, ameen. Wa usalli wa usallim wa ubarik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita wa sallamta wa barakta ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim. Wa usalli wa usallim ala sa'ir al-anbiya wa jami' al-anbiya wal-mursaleen wa ala alihim wa al-ba'im ila yawm al-jin. Subhanaka rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone, and Ramadan Mubarak. Inshallah.